Hey, this is Tyler, one of the hosts of RangerCast. On our show, we talk about Power Rangers and other multi-unit spandex heroes. We've got news, reviews, interviews. We talk about the comics, the games, the toys, and all things more phenomenal. Find us at Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or check us out at RangerCast.net. May the power protect you.
Everybody, I would like to welcome you to another episode of Pop Culture Gems. This is a series where I, Davis Green, talks to amazing creators, artists, cosplayers, voice actors, and so much more. If you like the interviews we do with our terrific guests, like, follow, and subscribe to our YouTube channel, the CFG channel. We release Pop Culture Gems on all podcast services and also on our main website, confreaksandgeeks.com. If you'd like to support the podcast itself, you could always become a CFG member by going to the CFG.store. Evo is one of the largest video game fighting tournaments on Earth. For 28 years, this event has been highly anticipated by major competitors and casual people in the fighting game community around the globe. This year, Evo is getting even bigger, and you must have someone who needs to, and you definitely must have someone who needs to command the ship itself. Well, I cannot think of anyone better than my guest today. He is the founder of Combo Breaker and is the also the director of Evo. I would like to welcome Richard, a.k.a. the Hado Thayer, to the show. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing all right, my friend. You?
I am definitely good now, man. It's been a long day already, but I'm definitely glad to finally be able to talk to you. I'm so excited to talk to you about this. Okay, but just to let people know though too, you could currently do it if you're wanting to do this. This is a giant fighting game tournament. If you're wanting to register, you can register now on at evo.gg. You will definitely, I guarantee you, because I've been doing it for years myself, you will have a great time. But Richard, let's get this party started. You have been an active fighting member in the fighting game community for a long time. Like, what drove you from loving and playing fighting games to becoming an event organizer slash creator of Combo Breaker and also being just the general manager of Evo?
So that was a pretty natural transition for me in that I was going to a lot of local tournaments kind of in my area, got a new job, wasn't able to go to those local tournaments. Overlapping time slots makes it difficult. Started hosting my own because I still wanted to have opportunities to compete with others. That ballooned into more and more people at a pretty decent clip. And that led me to working with other organizers around the country, meeting other people around the country. And eventually that all kind of rolling into actually setting up our own regional at the time with Combo Breaker. And by and large, starting a career path.
Wow. So like, I kind of love how it naturally you said, hey, I can't fight as many people as I need to. So let me just set this up and then boom right there. Like, so like when you set it up, when you initially set it up, like, was it like at your house or something? Or was it something that was just like at a good central spot where people could just come in and just fight if they wanted to?
Yeah. So I've been going to some tournaments at a retail location called Games and Go in the Minnesota area, and I made some friends while I was doing that, so it made it real easy to pivot off to, hey guys, I can't make locals anymore, can you swing by the house? And that started as a really reasonable 3 to 4 people, and by the time we stopped hosting at the house, it was 60 people. It was spanning out into the garage, it was spilling out onto the back patio. We couldn't host it at the house anymore. We broke a toilet. My wife never forgave me for that. And so we moved that event to a comic shop that a couple of us we were there every week buying comics because we were comic readers. And so we knew the owner. He had a big side room that he was hosting Magic the Gathering card tournaments in. And I think had some Yu-Gi-Oh stuff on Tuesday nights, but he had nothing going on a couple other nights that week. So we grabbed one, we started rolling gear in, that tournament continued to increase in size, at which point we started running at a mall. Then we were running at the back room of a board game factory that was in the area that spun out into a warehouse and ballrooms and just kept growing.
Oh my God. And this was all word of mouth, just that whole process? Or like, I mean, sure there was certain levels of networking, but you weren't expecting it.
It was mostly word of mouth and networking, but it was also old fashioned flyering and street team stuff. So we knew a bunch of the local pizza groups that were not your Pizza Huts and your Domino's, guys where you could show up and be like, yo, can I throw a flyer in a bunch of the boxes? I've got like $30. And the manager on staff just, you know, they don't often have as many rules and regulations when it's a independently owned business. So we were doing that. We flyered the colleges. We hit up the high schools. We went to card game nights and other activity groups. There was a location at a mall nearby that had Warhammer tournaments. We popped up there and started talking about Street Fighter and found the one guy there that also was playing Street Fighter. So wow. A lot of old fashioned boots on the ground, but eventually that hit a scale where just word of mouth worked on its own.
Wow. I mean, but it sounds like just in general that you definitely wanted something more in than just playing, you know, Street Fighter with your friends and maybe the community itself. It just definitely sound like that, like you were growing this empire to become for Combo Breaker to exist, you know, maybe inadvertently at first, but then you saw like something that made you to say, you know what, this is possible. This is something that's feasible.
We just wanted more people to play fighting games with. That, I mean, till today, we just want more people to play fighting games with. And particularly once you have, you know, your own group of friends and rivals, you want other people to test them again. Like, is the guy that's beating my ass every week really that good? Oh, well, actually, wait. Yeah, he is. Because then you just feel better about yourself. But also, you know, if he's really that good and you start beating that person, then there's the idea of, well, I can go somewhere else because I'm great. And just repeat that cycle over and over again of just, am I good? Yes, no. Answer that question. Continue on the path.
Right. The classic Ken flow chart, definitely. But the tournament's name is very fitting. Evo has consistently evolved every year. And this year's tournament drastically differs from the last itself. I know you've already said it in your update video, but what are some of the significant changes this year? This year's show will have
quite a few. Honestly, the biggest one is that we've changed venues. We're over at the new West Hall of the Las Vegas Convention Center. The event is a proper 3-day event for the first time in many, many years, where there's a full show Friday, full show Saturday, full show Sunday. A single ticket gets you access to all three of those days. Within the large format convention center, we built out an arena experience. So the same general admission entry into the convention is the same general admission entry into that arena finals experience. So you can go back and forth throughout the entirety of the show. We have an increased arcade stick museum. We have a much larger arcade. We've set up some art galleries. We've got a returning artist alley that's featured artists for the first time in actually maybe ever. Not 100% sure on that, but I think maybe ever. We have a increased exhibitor floor where we've got many of the devs and pubs that have come in the past returning, but also new groups that haven't been on the show floor at any point in Evo's history. And a whole bunch of activities that I really would love to tell you about today, but the promotional cycle doesn't actually kick off for a few weeks.
Fair enough. The West Convention Hall, correct me if I'm wrong, that's a fairly new expansion to the original convention center. Is that
That's the one they built and opened in, I'm going to get this wrong, I think it was 2022, but it's a hall Evo's never been to. It's one of the newer facilities in Las Vegas in general. Having walked through it, it's new enough that it still looks and feels clean. something that convention centers eventually lose over time. Yeah. Very nice facility though.
Oh yeah, very, very nice. Very insane. I think I walked through that once and it was insane. That's like right across the sphere. So yeah. Yeah. And the elimination of Coliseum tickets is like excellent news, because that was one of the most frustrating things in the process that you had to go through going to Evo itself. And will the new space allow like more seating than Mandalay Bay, or is this?
It's an increased seating capacity, but also because the show floor is open for the third day, we're going to have lounge environments and screens. And if you really just want to sit in the arcade and watch finals from your favorite shmup, you just stay on the candy cab and look up, because there'll be the opportunity to watch finals around the entire show as well as in that arena area.
Oh, so there's going to be actually viewing. There's going to be viewing location, not necessarily just at the location itself, but there's also going to be viewing like screens while you're at the regular show floor as well.
Correct.
Wow. Oh, wow. I'm actually kind of interested, like, though, too. Like, I mean, but because like the show, the convention center itself is kind of like a one layer kind of thing. Like, how is that even going to be possible to have more seating than Mandalay Bay? Because that sucker looks like it's filled to the brim most of the times.
So we're going to wind up with a greater seating capacity than we had last year for two reasons. One, the convention center is wider. So in terms of floor seatings, it allows for a greater spread. But also, Formula One Racing came to Las Vegas, and with them a whole ton of stadium riser seating that has been left in the area. There's tons of vendors now that rent out that equipment in between the races. And so because we have access to that, we can build up stadium style seating in the convention center.
Oh, okay. I didn't even I totally forgot about F1 being over there. That's awesome. I'm really looking forward to seeing how Sunday is going to look with that, at that location, at that new location. That's going to be cool. And, with an addition of a third needed day of Evo itself, like, was this like in the works for a while, or was this like something, because like Evo is starting to seem more of a convention feel, as well as, I mean, it's always tournament first, but like for everyone to come in and experience it, like since this is the first year it's hitting the third day, like was this something that was being planned, or were you something that y'all were actively working on for a while? When y'all just decided, okay, it's going to be officially out third day this year.
It's something we wanted to bring back to. So Evo used to be a 3-day show. Like if you went back to the years where it was at the Rio or it was at Bally's in Paris, that third day was always part of the show. It wasn't separated out until they started using the Michelob Arena at Mandalay Bay. And so we went in, we were doing that show for the 2 years here in the last two. And a huge piece of feedback was, why is the show closed on Sunday? Even from people who were going to the arena, we got the feedback of, I want to be able to dip out. I didn't finish shopping. I still want to play in the arcade. There was a bunch of artists that I hadn't walked by their booths yet. I just want to go grab casuals. Me and the homie flew across the planet to be here. We haven't got games in yet. And so trying to bring it back to that experience while not losing some of the presentation value that being in the arena space gave us, that's been a goal. And this is just the first year we're able to pull the trigger on it.
Okay. So to remove the third day wasn't really a matter of y'all were intentionally wanting to go that direction. It's just that because how the space was allocated, that's it led to that.
I bluntly can't speak for that. I took the job 2 years ago. With that said, my understanding is that was a reaction to moving into that space. You're in the arena. You want to condense down onto that show. You want that to be the moment. But and even as an attendee back at that time, I think there was something lost because you lose the ability to go engage with the rest of the show that you've been at. And so being able to have both, I think that's a good bridge point between what Evo really started out as, what it was when the show was just increasing in scale year over year so quickly, what it became, and how that presentation also increased the scale of the show year over year, particularly last year. And I think if we can find the sweet spot between both of those productions, we're going to have a really nice show for people who love fighting games.
Oh yeah, definitely really awesome. And Evo, like, also nowadays is a tournament and the convention, as I said before, like, will there be like tickets for spectators themselves, tickets and like spectators and roamers who aren't really a part of the tournament itself, or and just that will have access to watch and maybe shop around and stuff?
Yep. I mean, you can hit up evo.gg today. The tickets that are available is the same ticket for everybody. So you can go ahead, pick that up, go and enjoy the show. You never have to play in a tournament to enjoy Evo. I think the experience of Evo is more directly connected to its roots if you take the time to compete in a tournament, actually play the games themselves. But if you just want to come cheer on some friends, watch the finals, check out the vendors, take in a little bit of history, experience a bit of culture, Evo's right there for you.
Yeah, definitely. And a total of almost 9,200 people registered for EVO 2023, 7,000 of whom were for Street Fighter VI, with Tekken 8 being the new game this year. Do you project seeing numbers like last year, if not higher?
I think that we're going to see probably more players overall. One of the things that helped produce the number for Street Fighter last year is that Street Fighter is a legacy brand. It's a historic franchise in fighting games. Street Fighter VI is an excellent game, and it was a good product on release. And you have everybody who's coming to EVO to compete in any number of the games that we were hosting, where Street Fighter is an approachable new game to check out, give it a shot, and then go to the show and kind of test yourself. How am I doing? Tekken's offering that same opportunity this year. Grand Blue Fantasy versus Rising is offering that opportunity this year. Under Night Ember 2 is offering that same experience this year. Mortal Kombat 1 is offering that experience this year. These are all brand new opportunities for new players and legacy players to show up and compete for the first time. And I think it is incredibly likely that we see last year's historic tournament attendance increase.
Oh, yes. And I'm definitely looking like, waiting to see the number, the ending number on the registration, whatever that when it's done. But I guess the biggest thing was because, like, don't get me wrong, because you're totally right. When Street Fighter VI came out, out of the block, it came out very, very well comparatively to what it was from its predecessor itself. But then I even registered for it last year, and when the last number said 7,000 people registered for this, I was like, are you insane? This is insane. These are numbers I never reached. Even Marvel versus Capcom 3's numbers and stuff were like at the highest I've ever seen them to be before. Like, what, like, I guess I just don't know what was the driving force to kind of, I mean, besides just the legacy and the show that you provide, like, what do you have any idea what the driving force could be to just make people want to come to this show and just be like, okay, we need to fight the best of the best?
I think it's that EVO has become a rally point. When we talk about the fighting game community, when we talk about how that scale growth has really become a culture, this is a place where we can go and we can engage with competition at the highest level. We can engage with fandom in its most widespread capacity. We can engage with history because the show has been around for decades. We can engage with the personalities that have become celebrity figures. All of these things together start creating, for me, a wrapper that makes EVO unique, particularly in the market. Because can I go and experience culture other places? Yes. Can I go and experience high-level competition at other events? Yes. Can I go and experience artist alleys and shop at other events? Of course. Can I go and experience Mark Mann's Arcade Stick Museum anywhere else? Not really. Can I go and experience the kind of scale variety of exhibitors and vendors and developers and publishers that all centralize on EVO alongside these tournaments? No. And so if that's truly going to be a unique activity in market, that I think it is, at the same time that we're making such a successful push as a fandom to increase how many people appreciate fighting games as a whole, I think that makes EVO a very, very valuable place to invest your time if you're even casually interested in fighting games, much less if you have followed fighting games for years, if fighting games have become your lifestyle, or with some of these games and franchises as old as they are, if they've literally become your life.
Yes, definitely. Okay. And like, I admire that EVO allows anyone to participate in any of the tournaments that they put out. Is there a fear of, like, I mean, with the numbers that we're getting now, is there like a fear, like, setting a cap on any of the tournaments? Like, 7K is a crazy amount of numbers for just one tournament, especially go through that for 3 days.
So brand goal is to never cap. EVO started as an open tournament. It started as a open bracket invitation for as many people who could manage to get to EVO. Is there probably a scale number at some point where just finding space truly caps the tournament? Yeah. Are we there this year? I don't think so. Do I want to get there ever? Not really. So for now, let's just do it till it breaks. And then if it breaks, figure out a new way to do it even better.
That's fair. That's fair. It's like a future problem that you don't even have to worry about. That's true. But the EVA 2024 throwback game will be Street Fighter 3 Third Strike, which I'm very excited to see because that's definitely hitting my wheelhouse because I'm an old fogey. Then I thought about it, and this game would have to be a big challenge to set up at a tournament level nowadays, because I mean, you got pad, you got stick, leverless, and more will register for this game specifically. But historically, there has not been like a great console port itself for it. And then the other option would be arcade cabinets. And I did watch your interview with Maximilian, and I was like, and you already said like there's already hundreds of people already registered prior to that. So I'm like, that's impossible. Yeah, so that's impossible. So I'm curious about the plan for running like SF3 at a colossal tournament level.
So even more people have registered since that Max interview. Registration for Third Strike is not slowing down. We are committed to running it in arcade hardware. What we are looking to do is to put together dedicated Supergun units so that as best possible, we can make that legacy hardware compatible with as many controllers and as many types of controllers as we can. If you've got a 100% homebrew device that you slap together with toothpicks and toilet paper, I can't promise that that's going to work. But we are going through and we're testing with every PCB that we can get hold of. We're putting through all the modern sticks. We're trying to make sure that everything that is common will work with the Supergun setups that we're going to have on the show floor so that you can compete at your best on a device that you're comfortable with, as that's kind of the expectation in 2024. Bring your own controller is what it is. And so we want to make sure that that's true for Third Strike 2 without abandoning the arcade hardware that game should be run on.
Has there been any kind of setup controller that you may have came across that might have been, that you currently see that may or be an issue, if you can answer that?
Thankfully, I've got a friend here actually that's testing at a local every other week now with a bunch of controllers that come in. We did find one that wasn't working. Mm-hmm. We dug into the PCB on that. It is working now. So part of what we're trying to do leading into the show is find as many of those as we can to make sure that the setups that we're using at the event are going to be as widely compatible as possible.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Looking forward to that tournament. But that's going to be fun. And with the introduction of throwback games to Evo, I think this is its second year. If it was all up to you, what would you love to see as a throwback game in the tournament at this kind of tournament level?
I mean, for me, it's always the same answer. I would always, always love to be playing Killer Instinct. Beyond that, I'd actually like to see games that I really enjoy watching that I'm terrible at. So something like Vampire Savior. Mm-hmm. I love watching that game. I've never gotten good at playing that game at any level. So that's one of the ones where if we could host a truly gigantic tournament for that, you get the type of kind of representation that Evo usually sees for any of the games that it hosts. Something like that's exciting to me because mm-hmm. I don't even know what the true highest level of that game looks like, both when it first came out or today. And so that creates an opportunity to find out. And anytime we can find out, I think that's a worthwhile opportunity.
That's a good point. I didn't even think about Vampire Savers. You just said with Darkstalkers, that's cool. And you were one of you're one of the pillars of the FGC community. You created and have been like directing Combo Breaker for almost a decade, and now you're currently the general manager of Evo. You have made strides in fighting games in the forefront of tourneys. Like in your opinion, the direction of how like, you know, fighting game tournaments are kind of going, what is the expectations that you're trying to introduce to so you can kind of make more people wanting to be introduced to be a part or introduced into the FGC and try to challenge themselves to get into these tournaments?
Good question. I don't know for me if it's about setting an expectation about what someone is doing with a tournament or even doing at a tournament. I think for a lot of the shows that I work on or have worked on, what I want to do is try to create an expectation of the value of attending the show. Are you going to get something out of it that is personally revelatory? Are you going to get an experience that validates the time or particularly the monetary commitment to going to a convention or going to a large format tournament in this day and age? And from those experiences, are you going to meet other people to build the relationships necessary to where appreciation for this genre turns into love for this genre? Because I think fighting games have continued to be something where it's a lot like learning a language. Once you know how to speak a language, you kind of want more people to speak it with. And if you have more people to speak it with, you usually continue to be able to speak that language. And so that's kind of what a lot of what I try to do is about.
Okay.
And as long as we can hold true to that, I think that's an easy thing for us to use as a North Star of what we're doing and why we're doing.
I love that. That's a great answer. I love it. Evo itself is no longer just a fighting game tournament. It's becoming something more. Although it has kept the core values of running the tournaments, like how it's always been, it has also added like content creation, news, and even now a convention feel to it itself. Is there a bigger plan that you are like that you're directing Evo for it to become?
We're looking at what does it mean to be Evo in fighting games in this day and age. Evo was a rally point for tournament competitors for years. Evo was a rally point for community for years. Evo has become a rally point for, in my opinion, culture in this day and age. And culture is expansive and it is pervasive and it is worldwide. So how do we take that understanding and apply it to Evo and make sure that we stay committed in that application to celebrating fighting names, creating fighting game fans, creating tournament competitors, and hopefully bringing people back into the fold who are looking at wanting that fandom renewed, where maybe you were highly engaged with fighting games. And then you got to the point in life where you got a job and you got kids and you got responsibilities and you don't necessarily have that time investment anymore. And I want Evo to be able to hit that full spectrum where if you discovered fighting games yesterday, Evo can help be a place for you to celebrate fighting games. If you loved fighting games 10 years ago, but it's kind of fallen out of your awareness until something happened this week, I want Evo to be a place where you can dive back into that fandom. And I hope both of those groups can meet right in the middle where they're competing in a tournament.
Perfect. All right. Great. Great. I love that. And last question here. Given your gamer tag, it's obvious one of your favorite fighting games. One of your favorite fighting games are. So I'll ask you this. What are some of the most obscure fighting games you have ever played?
Some of the most obscure?
Yeah, like I've
played indie dev games that don't even have titles.
Okay, fair enough. Like World Heroes or something random, like something in something in the Japanese.
100 Million Arthur?
Yeah. 100 Million Arthur or something like that, yeah.
I think the most obscure game that I've probably played recently is Dark Awake, as that's popped up kind of in my social circle as a game of note. I always love this question, using it as an excuse to put Hokuto no Ken out, not because it's actually that rare or unknown, but because everyone should experience what getting hit once and losing a match truly feels like.
That got me so angry every time when I played that. I was like, are you serious?
Oh, I think last couple of years we've seen Cyberbots pop back up again. Jackie Chan's Fists of Fire has popped up again recently. So I don't know what I would call the rarest, but I love a lot of just old fighting games. I love a lot of new fighting games, and I love finding new fighting games. So
that's fair. I would love to see a side tournament of Jackie Chan, the Jackie Chan fighter with the
live. That would it be could amazing. Happen.
It could. You're right, man. But Richard, thank you so much for stopping by. I really appreciate you taking your time off your schedule for this, and I'm definitely looking forward to seeing you here in July to knock it out the park like you have been. Man, thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you much.
Thank you. And guys, folks, if you want to join in the Evo festivities, Evo is taking place in Las Vegas at on July 19th to the 21st. If you'd like to register, get your tickets. You could become a registrant, or you can just come and check out the event. The event is a cool experience every all the time. Go to evo.gg to register and have an awesome experience with the really cool community. So. Once again, if you like the interviews that we like to do, like we just did with Richard Thayer, by all means, definitely follow us on our YouTube page, the CFG channel, and check out the full library of all the other interviews that we have done on at ConFreaksGeeks.com. So once again, this is Davis signing out. Y'all, take it easy.